This is North Place Church, Durban. We hope as you listen today that you would experience Christ, community and compassion. To learn more about us, visit our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
This week we're going to move a little bit further in scripture, and we're going to look at how God has created us and designed us. And one of the conversations that I often have with people as we talk about purpose and we talk about aligning with God's purpose for their lives, people often say something to me along these lines: "Pastor, I just don't know where I fit. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing or where I fit in this big plan that God has for me and for other people." And so today we're going to talk about how do we figure out where do we fit? How do we align with God's purposes for our life by understanding where we fit in the big picture and where we fit into the big plan? As we've examined our values and we saw how they shaped our journey toward our purpose, this week we're going to learn about finding our fit, and how we find our fit is at the intersection between opportunities and abilities. Everyone say opportunities. At the intersection between opportunities and abilities. Everyone say abilities. At that intersection between opportunities and abilities, we find our fit. This morning, the setting of the story that we're going to look closely at is a point in time in which the children of Israel have come out of Egyptian bondage. They're marching toward the promised land. And as they're marching toward the promised land, they come to a great fortified city called Jericho. And when they come to Jericho, the Bible says that Moses sends out spies. The people say, "Hey, let's send spies into the land." The people go and they send spies into the land because they want to figure out, okay, what kind of army are we going to face? What does the situation look like? And so the passage of scripture that we're reading about today, that's sort of the setting. And the people are preparing to move towards the purpose. They're preparing to move towards the promise that God has for them. And as they do, they come to this place called Jericho. I want to read to you from Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. It says this: "On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. Except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent.'" So they've come to the city, they have this plan, they march around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, Joshua says, "Okay, we're going to blow the trumpets. When we blow the trumpets, the walls are going to come down, and when you go take the city, take everything except for Rahab and her family." Let's keep reading in verses 22 through 25. It says this: "Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, 'Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her.' So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in the place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to get to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day." So again, the setting is we have these spies who've gone to spy out the land. Joshua sent them in. They've gone to spy out the land. This prostitute named Rahab has hidden them. because they people are onto them, that they're in the city, they're spying out the land. She's hidden them. She's allowed them passage to go. And the Israelites come. They're going to take the city. And when they come to take the city, Joshua says, listen, burn everything, destroy everything except save Rahab and those who are with her, because a commitment has been made to her. Because she has saved you, we're going to save her. And even to this day, Rahab, her descendants, her family live among us. She was saved because she did what it was that we asked her to do. In the life of Rahab, we see the story of a person whose life and their purpose was turned right side up for God because she was in alignment with the opportunities. She was in alignment with the opportunities. She aligned her capacity with those opportunities. And so it positioned her for purpose. Purpose is found at the intersection of capacity and opportunity. Let me say that again. Purpose is found at the intersection of capacity and opportunity. To understand this statement, you need to understand a little bit more about Rahab. You need to understand a little bit more about the world that she was living in. Rahab, and Scripture is very, very clear about it, Rahab was a prostitute. Isn't it interesting? Every time we see the name Rahab, Rahab the prostitute. How would you like that to be your name? Rahab the prostitute. Every time Scripture mentions her, even later on, when Scripture talks about her, refers to her as Rahab the prostitute, because that is her identity. That is her identity. And Scripture points it out because it's an important part of who she is. You see, she lived in this city, Jericho, and in the city of Jericho, it was a pagan city. And like many pagan cities at that time in that part of the world, as a part of their worship of false gods, there included temple prostitution. There was this form of twisted, perverted sexuality that was weaved into their spirituality. They had spiritualized their sexuality, much like today. And so as a result of this, there were people who made their living off of being involved in prostitution. And that was who Rahab was. She was that kind of person. And it's interesting because Rahab lived socially at the fringe of society. She was a prostitute. As a woman, there was nothing lower that you could possibly be. There was nothing worse that you could possibly be as a woman than being a prostitute. And not only did she live at the fringe of society socially, but she also lived at the fringe of the city. Her house was literally built on the wall. She was at the extreme end of everything that you could possibly be. She was the last thing you would see before you went out the city. She was the last kind of person that you would want to be seen with, or that you would want to have relationship with. Here was this woman, Rahab, and the world that she lived in, she willfully chose to allow herself to be used and abused by other people over and over again. And that was the setting of her life. And as she's living out her life as a prostitute, we see that the spies have come into the land. They're spying out Jericho. They come and they're looking for a place. They're looking for a place that they can hide. And lo and behold, where do they end up? They end up at this lady named Rahab's life. But you see, Rahab, even though she was a prostitute, even though that socially she was at the fringe of society, even though physically she was at the fringe of society, that isn't the end of her story. Even though the label follows her as Rahab the prostitute, that isn't the end of her story. The book of James chapter 2 verse 25 says this: in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous. Everyone say righteous. Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Think about it for a moment. Think about how oxymoronic that statement is. Rahab the prostitute is righteous. Those two words don't seem to go together, prostitute and righteous. They don't seem like they match. And yet that's exactly in Scripture where the Hall of Faith is describing these great people of faith, these great people who are righteous. This woman Rahab is included. Scripture itself calls her righteous. It calls her righteous because when opportunity came her way, she used her capacity to align with God's purpose for her life. I'm so grateful that purpose is determined by where I'm headed and not by where I am from. Man, that's a good statement. Purpose is determined by where I am headed, not by where I am from. You see, there are many people who fall into the trap of determining how God can use them by only looking at their circumstances. There are many of us who disqualify ourselves from the purposes and the plans of God because we think that our past is too great of an obstacle for God to overcome. Many of us look at ourselves and we say, because my identity is this, certainly God can't use me. And yet Scripture shows us over and over again, and it's even been a constant theme in this series of messages, and it shows us directly through the life of Rahab, God can take anybody from anywhere and use them for His purposes and His plan. He can take anybody from anywhere and He can call them righteous. This woman, Rahab, had a moment in her life in which her capacity intersected with an opportunity. And Scripture says because she responded appropriately, because she gave passage and hid the spies, God called her righteous. Her entire lineage and destiny was changed. In fact, if you study the lineage of Jesus, what you'll find is a woman named Rahab the prostitute. Isn't it crazy? When you think about the lineage of Jesus, in the lineage of Jesus is Rahab the prostitute. How is that possible? It's possible because there was a moment in time in which this woman had an opportunity. She had an opportunity and she had capacity to do something about it. And because she responded appropriately, God promoted her life. You see, righteousness is not a matter of who I was. It's a matter of who I am in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again because you don't believe it yet. Righteousness is not a matter of who I was. It's not a matter of where I came from. It's a matter of who I am in Christ Jesus as I live out my purpose. Righteousness is who I am as I live out my purpose. In this place today, there are many of us who come from many places. We come from many spaces. We represent many races. I didn't mean to rhyme right then, but I'm a rapper from way back. I just the flow happens sometimes. I can't help it. Yeah, give me a beat. No, I'm just kidding. I've embarrassed myself. Do I look flush? I feel flush. Many of us, we struggle. We struggle because of where we come from or because of who we are or because of what we look like or because of what has happened in our life. And yet Scripture shows us. It shows us. As I live out my purpose, as I align with who God has called me, I become righteous. I live out righteousness. This woman, Rahab, was known as righteous because she aligned with God's purpose. Not only do I want you to see today that purpose is not limited by where I'm from, but the second thing that I want you to see is that purpose starts becoming clearer as I fully understand my capacity. To find your purpose, you have to evaluate your capacity. This woman, Rahab, and her story is often overlooked and it's often ignored, especially the part about her being a prostitute, because it's ugly and we don't like to think about it. And we don't like to think about how God could take a woman who was a prostitute and somehow or another redeem those very truths about her life for the sake of His purposes and His plan. Let me read to you Joshua chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It says this: So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Get this. To find your purpose, you have to evaluate your capacity. I want you to think about it for a moment. I know it's something we don't like to think about. I know it's a story and a part of a story that we often shy away from, but think about how the capacity of a woman whose home is a brothel could be used as a place to hide spies. Because her house was a brothel, strange men were coming and going all the time. Hello? Because her house was a brothel, and there were probably often people there who weren't supposed to be there, who often needed to be hidden. Hello? How did she know how to hide people? Because she'd probably hid people before. Hello? She just happened to have a great little hiding spot on the roof that the king's guard couldn't find people. This lady knew how to hide people. She knew how to deal with strangers. She ran a home where strangers came and went all the time. I know it seems crazy to think about it, but isn't it wild that at just the right moment that these men needed to be hidden and needed to find some house that they could go, they came upon the house of a prostitute who had a hiding place and who was accustomed to strange men coming to her home. You see, at the intersection of even the most ugly things in our life, God provides us with opportunities so that we could be transformed into the people that he wants us to be. Man, this is good preaching. Many of us look at the ugliest parts of our lives and we say, no, there's no way God can use me. We look at the ugliest parts of our existence and we hate those things. And yet, can I say to you today, it is quite possible. In fact, I can show you over and over and over again in scripture where God would intersect people at the ugliest points in the most hurtful places in their life. And he would burst into those places in their life and he would show them, I can even use you. You and I must be people who stop for a moment, who stop eliminating ourselves, who stop disqualifying ourselves because maybe we don't have the right pedigree, or we weren't raised in the right home, or because we don't have the right education, or because we don't have the right bank account or drive the right car. We need to stop eliminating ourselves and start asking God, God, will you by the Holy Spirit begin to examine my life and show me the places and spaces in my life that you want to use for your glory? See, I believe, and I believe scripture shows it very clear, that our God is a God of redemption. And when he redeems you, honey, he redeems every part of your life. He even redeems the roof where you've been hiding somebody. When God redeems you, his power is powerful enough to redeem every part of your life. Rahab was a person whose life was turned upside down. And as it was turned upside down, God took and he twisted and he turned even those parts of her life that seemed the most unseemly. We all have things in our lives that add to our capacity and that equip us for what God wants to do in and through us. Every one of us have skills that we've learned. Every one of us have talents and abilities. Every one of us have had work experience and life experience. We all have things that God can use for his purpose and his glory. All of us have resources that God can use. Even the things that we may despise, even the things that we may not understand, God can use them. When Desiree and I were in college, when we were in university, we had gotten married and we were in university and we needed a way to make a living. We needed a way to eat. And so I took a job at a freight company. And I've told some of you this story before. I worked for a freight company. You know, those tractor trailers, those big trucks with the big trailers. I would work all night long loading those trucks. That was my job. And I did that from my sophomore through my senior year of university. And I would work all night long and then I would come and go to university all day long. Don't tell me you can't do it. You just got to want it bad enough. Hello? That's free. That's not even in my notes. If we weren't so fragile, we'd get a lot more accomplished. But again, that's another sermon for another day. So I would work all night long, and then I would go to school during the day. And over the course of those 3 years, there were many times that I was loading trucks, and I was having lots of conversations with God about loading those trucks. Because it was hard work. It was not easy. It was very physically demanding. and it was tiring, and it was not at all who I wanted to be or what I wanted to be doing. And the people who I often worked with, oftentimes they were day laborers. So these were people on the fringe of society, and they would come in, they would work for enough paycheck to go and enough money that night to go buy liquor the next day and be drunk. I mean, that was just my environment. It was a rough environment. And I remember many times arguing with God about why I was there and what I was doing. And there were plenty of times that I despised that job. It was many, many years later, graduated from university, went on, did our thing. It was many, many years later, I was serving as a pastor, and we began to get a vision and a heart to ship resources to Swaziland, to ship food and clothing and supplies. And it was as we began to dive into that process, all of a sudden one day, it was about the second year that we were loading this container and getting everything's ready, and I was dealing with all the shipping companies, that the Holy Spirit began to whisper in my voice, whisper in my ear, and began to say to me, "Hey, Randy, how do you know how to do that?" And I said, "Well, I learned how to do that when I was in college." And the Holy Spirit, sometimes he sounds like me a little bit when he's talking to me. He can be a little bit of a smart aleck. And he said, "Did they teach that in Bible college?" And I said, "No, I never had a course on shipping containers." "Where did you learn that?" "I learned that on the freight dock." "Oh, so when you were mad at me, when you were yelling at me, when you were angry with me, when you were despising me, when you were despising the fact that you were on that freight dock, did you not understand that I was preparing you?" And just a few years later, I didn't know. I wasn't prepared. I was really happy pastoring where I was pastoring, doing what I was doing. And all of a sudden, God once again begins to move on mine and Desiree's heart, and we become missionaries, and we get to Africa, and now all of a sudden, I'm bringing containers all the time, and I'm in the middle of bringing containers all the time. And again, the Holy Spirit comes back to me one day, and he says, "Randy, how do you know how to do that?" And I say, "I remember this conversation. Yeah, I learned that when I was working for the freight company." You see, the Lord was building my capacity even when I didn't know it for a purpose that I wasn't even aware of. The Lord was building my capacity for a purpose in my life that I wasn't even aware of. You see, in our lives, God brings us to moments and places and spaces where he builds our capacity so that we can step into those things that he has for us. This morning, I want to take a few minutes, and I want us to do a little exercise like we've been done. I'm going to ask the ushers to help me at this time. They're going to bring you all a card. Desiree, if you could help me, I accidentally left mine on the seat right there by that water bottle. Thank you. Everyone should have a pen in their seat. You're gonna get one of these cards. And I want to take you through just a little activity that's going to help you today. And it's going to help you this week as you begin to see how the purposes of God in your life intersect with the capacity, how the opportunities and the capacities intersect to move you toward your purpose. As you see the card, and you all should get it, There's a blank on the left-hand side of the card that says purpose. I want you to take a moment, and I know you've been thinking about purpose. I know you've been praying about purpose over the last several weeks. I know that you've been doing your daily 20, and so you've been meditating on purpose, so this shouldn't take a long time. I want you to write just one thing down in that blank that says purpose right there. Just one purpose that you know God has for your life. One purpose that God may have for your life. Maybe that purpose is, I know God wants me to be a business owner. Write business owner there. Maybe that purpose is, I know God wants me to graduate from university. So put university graduate there. Maybe it's, I know God wants me to be a mother someday. Write down being a mother. I know God wants me to be a manager at my job. Write down manager. Whatever it may be, write down one of the purposes, one of the things that God has put in your heart that he's moving you towards. Write that down right there. Under purpose right now. Are you with me? Have you done it? You good? All right. Now, right next to that is a square box that says opportunity. I want you to think for a moment And I want you to write down an opportunity that you have in your life right now that would move you toward your purpose. So let me give you an example. Somebody may come up to me and say, Pastor Andy, I feel like God has called me into ministry. And so maybe they wrote ministry under purpose. An opportunity that is available to this body right now is that anyone in this room who feels led and called by God can become a groups leader. We gave you an announcement. We said, hey, if you want to be a groups leader, see Pastor Adam. Well, if you're called into ministry, one opportunity that you have that will move you towards your purpose is to lead a small group. Problem is, a lot of people want to get up on Sunday and preach, but they want them never to have led a small group. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. But you see, that's an opportunity that you have that could move you towards your purpose. Maybe you would say, hey, I believe God has called me to be a business owner. So an opportunity that you could have that would move you towards being a business owner is the next time Desiree teaches Financial Peace University, you could take Financial Peace University so you can learn how to handle finances. Because you can't run a business if you can't handle your own personal finances. Hello? So a purpose opportunity. What's an opportunity that you have? I want to be a business owner. I could take a short course on being a business owner. Whatever might be the case. Write down opportunity. All right, now, so you have purpose, you have opportunity. Now here's what I want you to do. This is, remember we talked about self-surveys a couple weeks ago, and I talked about how about only 20% of the time it's accurate because 80% of the time we're lying to ourselves and everybody else. Remember when I talked about that? Yeah, if you weren't here, you need to go back and listen to that message. Here's what I want you to do. On the scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, I want you to rate yourself. How ready are you to engage that opportunity? So on the screen, we have becoming a manager. So the purpose is I'm going to become a business owner someday. So an opportunity that I have at my current job is that I could become a manager at my current job. It would make a lot of sense to learn how to be a manager somewhere before I own my own business. So Juan has to ask himself the question. He has to ask himself the question based from a scale of 1 to 9 or 1 to 10 being the top. How in the world, how ready am I to be a manager? Well, he only shows up for work every other day on time. So he's not 100% ready. Hello? Because if you're going to be a manager, it means you got to be a leader. If you're going to be a leader, you got to show up on time. Because when you don't show up on time, you tell everybody else that they're not as valuable as you. And that you're, hello? So he's not a 10 because he can't get to work on time. Oh, they're being nice to him because if he can't get to work on time, I wouldn't give him a 6, but that's okay. He'll be a 6. Service number 2, I'll use something else besides being on time because that makes you about a 3 in my book. So he's a 6. So on your scale, based on the opportunity that you have right now, you feel called into ministry, you can lead a small group. How ready are you to lead a small group right now? How ready are you to lead a group? Maybe you're a 5, maybe you're a 6, maybe you're a 7, maybe you're a 2. Circle right there where you are. Are you with me? Now at the bottom, there's a place for name. I want you to write your name because this is your card. This is your card and this is your opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to take this card in their hand and we're going to pray. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And as we pray, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And here's what we're going to ask him to do. We're not done with this yet. Here's where we're going to ask him to help you. That blank space that's right over here, this large blank space under purpose. We're going to pray and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. To give you one action step. Everyone say action step. To give you one action step to move you up a number. So if Juan is a 6, The Holy Spirit's going to give him one action step that he can take to move him from a 6 to a 7. Are you with me? So I want to hold your card up just like this. Hold your card up. Come on, hold your card up. We're going to pray, and as we pray, we're going to pray right now for the Holy Spirit to give you one action step that you can write down. And after we pray, I want you to write down that action step because the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Trust me, he's going to speak to you. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to help us. Lord, we are so grateful that you take people like me, that you take people like Rahab, and you give us opportunities. God, it may not be the opportunity we want, but it's the opportunity that is in front of us. Rahab had the opportunity to put her life and the life of her family at risk by hiding those spies. This wasn't a glamorous opportunity. It wasn't the opportunity that many of us would have signed up for, but it was the opportunity that was presented to her. Every one of us in this room have opportunities every single day to move toward our purpose. And yet, Father, for many of us, we're not yet at a 10. We're not yet ready. We're not yet ready to leverage our capacity for that opportunity. And so we ask you right now to help us to know one action step, one thing we can do that will move us up a number from where we are, just one rung up the ladder, closer to living out our purpose by intersecting with the opportunity that we have right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you, give us insight. Every person here, give us insight, one action step right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. Write it down. Write down that action step that you can take. Purpose is not limited by where I'm from. Purpose is empowered by the capacity or the resources that I already have to respond to the opportunities that are in front of me. Purpose is found at the intersection of capacity and opportunity. Remember, we mentioned earlier that Rahab had heard about the Israelites. She had heard about the fact that they were coming. Joshua chapter 2 verses 8 through 11 says this: before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did at Sihon and Og and the two kings of the Amorites east of Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." You see, Rahab had received an incredible opportunity because she was aware of what was going on. She responded to this uncertainty by shifting her allegiance and her alliance to the one true God. This reverent respect for the one true God provoked faith inside of her that caused her to take her own life and the lives of her family and put them at risk so that she could take the capacity that she had and so that she could meet the opportunity that was in front of her. When they left her with instructions. They said, "When we leave, make sure that you don't tell anyone. And if you don't tell anyone when we have gone, if you hide us and if you don't tell anyone, then we certainly will keep you safe." Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Wisdom. Wisdom is when knowledge has successfully been applied in our life. And it starts at that place where we embrace the one true God. The fear of the Lord, which means reverent respect for God, allows us to see and to understand things differently. Notice Rahab said, we heard about what God had done and our hearts melted. We began to develop the fear of the Lord. And it was because of the fear of the Lord that she responded when the opportunity came her way. It's out of reverent respect for God as we understand who he is, that when opportunities come our way, we chase after those opportunities. Pastor, how do I gain wisdom? How do I gain reverent respect for God? This is why we teach you about doing your daily 20. It's in your daily 20 every single day that you meet with him, that you hear from him, that you learn his word. And it's in that place and it's in that space that your heart's affection grows towards him, so that when he speaks to you and opportunities come your way, you can see how that opportunity is intersecting with the capacity that he's given you, thus giving you an exact target for his purpose in your life. As we know who God is, which is the fear of the Lord, faith is a byproduct. And when faith rises in our life, we move towards God's purposes for us. James chapter 2, verse 26. Remember, I read verse 25 to you earlier. Verse 26 says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Hello? Faith without deeds is dead. In other words, what the writer is saying, Rahab had an opportunity. Her heart began to develop faith because she had heard about God. The opportunity came her way, and it wasn't enough for her to simply have heard about God. She had to respond to what she heard. She had to put her faith into action, and it's by putting her faith into action that her faith was proved. It's as you and I begin to put our faith into action when opportunity comes our way and we use our capacity to meet that opportunity, that we demonstrate our faith and we move towards God's purposes in our life. Purpose is achieved when we follow through. Everyone say follow through. One of the greatest gaps that exist on the planet today is the gap of follow through. Man, as a visionary leader, people come and talk to me about vision all the time. I am a vision magnet. I just attract people who have vision. And that's because that's the space that I live in. I love vision. I love talking about vision. And so people come and they talk to me about their vision all the time. And I love it. I love hearing about people's vision. But the problem is not vision. The problem is follow through. People have dreams. I've met very few people who don't have dreams, but I've met a lot of people who suffer and who struggle because of the lack of follow through. Hello? They suffer, they struggle, they never achieve their purpose because the lack of follow through. And what we're trying to do in this series is we're trying to break things down for you into simple steps so that you can move into a process of follow through. If you'll take that card that we did this morning, and if you'll read that one that says, here is my action step, something I'm going to do. And if you'll follow through on that consistently, what'll happen is it'll move you closer to your purpose. And then you take that card and you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. Week after week after week, you say, Holy Spirit, search me, show me the place between my capacity and my opportunity and what I'm missing and what it will take to move me one step further. It's as you and I follow through consistently over and over and over again, do we come to our purpose. Purpose is not limited by where I'm from, but it's empowered by the resources that I already have to respond by faith and follow through on what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. Rahab had to follow through. She had to hide those spies. And then when the king sent men to her to find out where they had gone, she was tested on whether or not she was going to follow through. Hear me today. You will be tested. What's in your heart, the purpose that you have, the thing that you're dreaming of, you will consistently be tested. Can you imagine the king's guard coming to the prostitute's house? How would have they treated her? How would have she responded to that circumstance and that situation? One more time, Rahab, the prostitute, would have been put in her place. You're just a lowly prostitute. You're a dog. You better tell me what I want to know. Once again, she would have been put in her place. Once again, she would have been reminded of her identity. Once again, she would have dealt with the shame and the guilt and the fear, and all of those things came flooding back in that moment. She had the chance. She could have given those guys up and protected her own life, but instead, she followed through on the oath that she had made. Hear me today. Your faith will be tested, but it's purified as you follow through. God has given you dreams. He's given you passion. He's given you purpose. The problem isn't a lack of dream. The problem isn't a lack of passion. The problem isn't a lack of purpose. The problem is, how will you and I respond when our faith is tested? She had to allow her capacity, what she knew how to do. And this is a gray area. This is going to be difficult for many of us. Prostitutes know how to lie. Come on. Prostitutes know how to lie. They know how to cover things up. They know how to hide things. I bet you've never heard anybody preach a sermon when the prostitute was the hero. And yet it's plain and simple in Scripture. She was called righteous because she did what she knew how to do. Her capacity intersected with her opportunity. So she hid the spies. She lied about where they had come from to protect them so she could fulfill her oath. Pastor Annie, you're telling us it's okay to lie? Absolutely not. But if we ignore these parts of Scripture, we make Scripture fake. And it's real. And the real thing is, prostitutes know how to lie. And in this place and in this space, this woman's faith, her covenant, her commitment was challenged. And she said, you know what? I know how to hide people. I know how to deceive. I know how to send people the opposite direction. And so that's exactly what she did when her faith was tested, so that she could honor her oath. God will continue to use you, who you are, where you come from, to move you towards your purpose. Your faith and your purpose will be tested. How great is your faith? Pastor, how will I know how great my faith is? You will know how great your faith is by how much you follow through. Many of us, we'll move towards our purpose as we learn to follow through on those things that we have committed to. When one learns how to get to work on time and follow through on it, he'll get a promotion. That is a really not a very popular illustration, I'm figuring out. What opportunities do you keep saying no to that God keeps putting in front of you? I can't tell you, and I'm really getting right down to where we're living. I can't count on my hand how many of you have come up to me and told me, Pastor, I'm called into ministry, and yet we can't twist your arm enough to get you to lead a small group. It's right where we're living. Pastor, I'm called into ministry. Great. Awesome. The youth ministry right now needs volunteers. Right now, the youth group, you guys aren't up here on Friday night, it's exploding. We need volunteers in the youth ministry. And I got so many of you called into ministry, and I can't get volunteers to come minister to youth. Hello? Hello? Pastor, I called to be a business owner. I know God has called me to be a business owner. God has called me to be an entrepreneur. Fantastic. Are you the number one employee at your company right now? No. Well, you know that seed that you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap when you become a business owner yourself, right? Hello, is this just too close to where we're living? Is it okay? See, there's an intersection. There's an intersection between where I am right now and the opportunities that are in front of me. And how I respond to that creates the pathway for me toward my purpose. What opportunities are in front of you right now that something is causing you to be repelled by those opportunities? Where is it that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? How are the areas, where are the areas in your life that you may be disqualifying yourself? Remember, Rahab could have thought, I can't be used by God because I'm a prostitute. Where are the areas in your life that God is whispering in your ear and he's calling you to something bigger and further and greater, something beyond? He's calling you to something and you're like, oh, that can't be me. It can't be God because maybe I'm uneducated or I'm this or I'm that. And all the while, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, but God has this for you. How are you disqualifying yourself? As you think about your life, what surprising resources may God have developed in you that he wants to redemptively use for his glory? I promise you, I certainly didn't understand it. I didn't understand it when I was on that freight dock. And yet God was writing a redemptive story in my life of something that he was going to use over and over and over again. And in my immaturity in that moment, I despised it and I was angry and I was bitter. And all the while, God was preparing me. How is God possibly preparing you for your purpose?
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. If you live in the Durban area, we would love to connect with you. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at 10 Meridian Drive, Amschlange Ridge.